Hi there. Let's cover something really practical today. What are the English words that you need if you're booking a flight online? That's flight, F-L-I-G-H-T, and a flight is a journey on an aeroplane or plane. Flights mean that international travel is much more of an option, and many of us book flights to go on holiday. And I'm giving tips and advice today on how to fly for less money and why a bag like this might save you quite a lot of money on a flight. Let's find out. Booking flights can be a challenge, especially if the website is in English. So this is useful, real-life vocabulary for if you're planning a trip. When you book flights, you'll come across terms like extras or add-ons, and these can significantly raise the cost of travel. So to make it more interesting, let's look at how you might navigate these things. The cheapest ways to fly when you don't want to spend a lot of money, or you're on a budget. Some of this is really useful for booking, but also when you're actually at the airport. A very practical podcast today. And I'll throw in my opinion and experience too. I do like a cheap flight. Don't forget to listen a number of times so that your brain can do its English language learning, and so that you're another step closer to fluency in English. Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. Before I do all of that, some news on the Adept English front. We have been busy behind the scenes at Adept English, revamping and reproducing our course, Activate Your Listening. This was the first course we ever produced, and it needed an update. We've improved the course practically. It comes now in an easy to download format, an audio book and an ebook. We've also improved the course content, but all the good things about the course remain. It's listen and learn, for one. You'll hear me having conversations with three other English speakers, as well as lots of other material, including pronunciation practice. And the course covers vocabulary and topics which are necessary for anyone learning English. If you want more information on this course, then stay with us at the end of the podcast and you'll see a video which tells you all about the course. That's the new Activate Your Listening course. And you can buy this right now on our website at adeptenglish.com. Okay, back to today's topic. So you've decided that you'd like to take a trip and you're using an English language website to book your flights. I'm based in the UK, so I like to use EasyJet or Ryanair, the so-called budget airlines. The word budget, B-U-D-G-E-T, is being used as an adjective here, and it means lower cost. They're sometimes described as no-frills airlines. That's F-R-I-L-L-S, meaning it's not fancy, it's not luxury, it's pretty basic. But that's reflected in the price. They're really just getting you from one place to the other. I'm a fan of budget, especially if you're doing a relatively short flight. I don't see the point of paying for an expensive seat if I'm just flying within Europe. The experience of flying is hardly different if I've spent more, and I'd rather spend more on the actual holiday. So I'm a fan of budget airlines, even though EasyJet is sometimes called SqueezyJet because of the size of the seats. You have to squeeze into them. More on that later. My first and most important tip, book early. You get a much better price. The way that the budget airlines work is called demand pricing. They have a certain number of seats at a certain price. So those sell first, and when they've sold, the price goes up. For exactly the same thing, that is. And usually there are several price bands for each flight. So the longer you leave it, the more you will pay. The more seats they've already sold on the flights, the more expensive the next seats will be. There's no such thing as a last minute deal. It's also cheaper to book on certain days of the week. My experience says Tuesdays and Wednesdays are good, but for some airlines, Sunday is the cheap day. So if you have flexibility and you can avoid the weekends, that's a good way to get the price down. It's always worth looking at the dates either side of the ones you were planning. It may be so much cheaper if your arrangements are flexible, and it can mean more nice meals in restaurants when you get there. And one of the things to be wary of with the budget airlines, the seats may be low cost, but you can end up paying a whole lot more for all the items that are add-ons or extras. What are they, you might ask? Well, if you and the people you're traveling with want to sit together, they charge you for booking a specific seat. Otherwise, you're on what's called random seat allocation. You could be sitting anywhere. So it probably doesn't matter as much if you're traveling with other adults. An EasyJet always guarantees that children will be seated next to an adult. So it might matter for nervous flyers or another group if you need extra leg room. Andrew at Adept English will attest to this. If you are over 6 foot tall, it may be worth paying for extra legroom seats. So an extra legroom seat is one probably with an aisle in front of you, like the ones by the emergency exits or at the front of the plane, where there's more room for your legs. I don't need extra legroom myself, but I know that this can mean traveling in great discomfort if you're tall and you don't take this option. And some vocabulary for booking seats. Often they're in rows of three, so you might see them described as a window seat, and that means exactly what it says, a seat by the window, a middle seat, and an aisle seat. That's A-I-S-L-E, aisle. There's a word in English whose spelling and pronunciation don't seem to relate that much to one another. An aisle is a walkway, especially between seats, so a gap, if you like. There might be an aisle at the theatre or the cinema, but we also talk about the aisle on a plane. And in English, to walk down the aisle has a very specific meaning. It means to get married, and we're referring there to the aisle in the middle of a church that people walk down when they're getting married. So there's an idiom for you. But when you're booking flights, you might find you want an aisle seat. Other money-saving tips? Never buy your airport car parking, your car hire, your hotel room, or your travel insurance with your airline tickets. These are much cheaper if you research them and buy them separately. I found that to be particularly true with car hire. You can end up paying £300 or £400 more for a week's car hire if you book through the airline. Why would you do this? It's the same sort of car. And when I first started flying, the airline meal was a real treat. But now it's an optional extra, certainly on budget airlines, meaning that you can choose to pay extra to have it. So I tend to say no to the airline food too, unless it's practical because you're on a 12-hour flight, perhaps. There's usually plenty of food to buy at the airport, and it's much nicer and cheaper too than what's on offer once you're captive inside the plane. However, I do sometimes like to start my trip with a G&T, a gin and tonic from the trolley on board the flight. The word trolley, T-R-O-L-L-E-Y, that's the word for the wheeled cart that the stewards push up and down the aisle of the plane so that they can serve drinks and food. That's the same word as a supermarket trolley, of course. But where can you save yourself the most money when you're booking flights? On your luggage, that's L-U-G-G-A-G-E, or sometimes called baggage. B-A-G-G-A-G-E, the things you bring with you, in other words. The budget airlines in the UK allow you to bring a small bag into the cabin, that means inside the plane, for free. Something about the size of a rucksack. And it's a size restriction inside the cabin, not a weight restriction, because it's about the space taken up. It needs to fit in the overhead locker, that's the cupboard above your head, or underneath the seat in front of you. You may want to take more, In which case, your bag will have to go in the hold, H-O-L-D. That means the bigger storage area underneath the plane, rather like the boot of a car, or in US English, the trunk of a car. That's the hold. Either way, it will cost you a fair bit extra to take extra luggage, bigger bags. This can be more expensive than the cost of the flight, for the person, I mean. And often you have to pay extra for each person and for each flight. So you can multiply the cost of baggage several times over. That's the cost of transporting your luggage. My answer, if you're going away just for the weekend or for a week in the summer, when you don't need bulky clothes or many shoes, squeeze everything into a cabin bag. If you're careful with your packing, it's surprising how little you need. And another tip, consult your airline's information on baggage size. I know that there are slightly different bag sizes allowed on EasyJet or Ryanair. Consequently, we have Ryanair bags, or like this one. This one is an EasyJet bag, so it's exactly the right size for what's allowed. So you get to pack the maximum amount possible for the least cost. The bags are available online, they're not very expensive, and of course you reuse them. They cost far less than the cost of transporting your luggage. And of course, it's a one-off cost. So that purple one is one of our EasyJet-sized cabin bags. Great for a weekend. And yes, in the UK, we still have those restrictions on flying with liquids. You can't take anything that's bigger than 100 milliliters, which is difficult for people like me if you have lots of needs of cosmetics and toiletries, things like face cream, toothpaste and shampoo. What isn't quite so restricted though, once you're through bag scanning, bag checking and into the international departure lounge, there are lots of shops. Even the budget airlines allow you one shopping bag of duty-free as well as your cabin bag. Duty-free means all those lovely products they sell at the airport with no tax on them. So they want you to buy those. So one way of saving money, use your tiny cabin bag for shoes and clothes and buy your toiletries and cosmetics at the airport. You can buy 100 milliliter size toiletries in places like Boots the Chemist in UK airports. Another benefit, if space is a little bit tight in your cabin bag, you can just drop a few items in with your shopping. I don't think anyone's going to notice. So there you have it, my tips for flying on a budget. I don't fly a lot, but I have booked several trips this year. No doubt you'll be hearing about them. And I don't believe in paying more than necessary. So if cheap airline tickets mean you can travel and expensive airline tickets mean you can't, it makes all the difference. It's worth saving the money. So hopefully that's helpful information and certainly some great vocabulary for you. Don't forget to listen to this podcast a number of times and don't forget the new Activate Your Listening course. Keep watching to find out more on that. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Hi there. If you've been learning English for a while, but you're not yet fluent, this course is for you. Traditional language learning doesn't focus on listening, so the skill of automatic understanding is not well developed in many language learners. And yet this is the most important skill if you want to become fluent, both in understanding and in speaking English. This course is called Activate Your Listening because it makes your listening more active and helps you focus on that skill, really improving your automatic understanding of English. Fluency is only possible if your understanding is implicit. This course puts the 7 rules into practice. It includes structured listening material, which helps you build your vocabulary and grammar knowledge gradually and automatically. It makes use of techniques like spaced repetition to help you learn. Spaced repetition means words that you may not know are introduced, explained, and then repeated in different contexts, with a space in between. This gives your brain opportunity to do that automatic language learning that we were all so good at when we were children learning our first language. Activate your listening focuses on three universal topics and their associated vocabulary. Topics are the UK and Britain, food, and education. The UK and Britain topic uses vocabulary that's useful for describing any country and supplies interesting and useful knowledge about the UK. The food topic is of interest to anyone and gives in-depth vocabulary on food, particularly food that you might encounter in countries like the UK. And the last part on education, again, much of it is universal and some of it is specific to the UK. It's a really good guide to talking about education generally, but it's also an essential guide for anyone considering entering the UK education system. You may be a parent whose children are joining the UK education system, or you may be an adult who's considering going to university in an English-speaking country. Really importantly, the course includes English conversation between four native English speakers so that you can practice with different voices. If you want to activate your listening and learn to tune into English conversation and speak more fluently, you can buy this course right now. Just press the button. You can start immediately. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.